Boy, amen to that. Amen and amen for sure. So I might even be able to preach a little bit after worship like that. Thank you guys again for being here, and just thank you for worshiping with authenticity. Pastor Jimmy and I are firm believers in not just great worship, but authentic worship. And I love to stop singing and just listen to you guys. And let me tell you, Jesus is being exalted this morning here at Ledge Rock. That's okay to say amen to that one. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Yeah. One of my dear friends and sisters said, you need like a sign that says amen. Us folks up north here, we're not used to saying that, so you have to tell us when to do it. So, yeah, we're going to work on that in these coming weeks and months. I got a question for you guys. Is the National Enquirer correct? Is it correct? We got one person that says absolutely. It's like the internet. Whatever's in the Enquirer, it's true. The Enquirer, isn't their theme like slogo, inquiring minds want to know? I tell you what, whatever they print inside there, I have no idea. It's probably not true. I don't know, Mark, we'll read it together and see. But that slogan is absolutely true. Inquiring minds want to know. Isn't learning, okay, those of you that are out of school and don't have to do it anymore, don't have to do what your teachers say, so you kids just be quiet a second. Isn't it fun to learn new things? Yes. All right, good answer. Yes, very good. Inquiring minds want to know. I think that the pursuit of knowledge is really fun, especially, like I said, as an adult, I don't have to do it. I get to pick and choose the things I want to learn about. The pursuit of knowledge and greater understanding of things, it's fantastic. I love to learn. I love YouTube now. Again, everything that's on the internet's got to be true. So, like YouTube, what a resource now. So many people, our daughter called the other day, hey, the air conditioning is not blowing anymore. It's blowing only out of the defrost or whatever. So, what does she do? YouTube it. And YouTube, you know, 30-second video, $15 part or whatever, it's easy to replace. So, thank you for things like that. But it's fun to learn and understand more things. I love learning. I'm passionate about learning. I believe I will intend to learn until I can't any longer. I think asking questions is just one of those great skills that we all either need to develop or maybe we have that's very, very, very useful. You can sure tell a lot about a person by the questions that they ask. You can tell where their mind is at, what they're thinking. I said a couple weeks ago when we began this look at John 1, how Caleb has so many questions. 10-year-old boy. He wants to know everything. How does it work? And you can see the little wheels just spinning in there. I really like that quote from Voltaire that says, judge a man by his questions rather than his answers. Boy, is that telling. Judge a man by his questions rather than his answers. Well, there's many great questions in life. Lots and lots of great, solid questions in life. Here are a couple that the world asks. Maybe not us in church here as much, but the world asks. One of the great questions is, where did I come from? Where do we, mankind, where do we come from? Another great one is who am I? Again, these are the world's questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Why am I even here? How should I live? And then, where am I going? Where am I going now in life? And where am I going when this ends? What happens when we die? Good questions, solid questions. But I believe that the biggest question in all of existence is this one single question, and that is, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And what about Jesus? So today we're finishing up the look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. So if you have a Bible, find the book of John. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the gospel according to John. John is an amazing gospel. John, it's the apostle John that followed Jesus, lived with Jesus, walked and ministered with Jesus. John, the author of this gospel and several other books in the Bible, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, all authored by the apostle John. John was the only disciple that died of old age. John had the privilege of living until much, much later. All the other disciples were martyred and killed for their faith. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, were written earlier. John had the advantage of living through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, Jesus' ministry here on earth, and then reading the Gospels, and John could fill in some details, some places that Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't cover. And John really focuses on the deity of Jesus, the Godness, the Godhead, the Trinity, that Jesus Christ was fully God. That's what John focused on, and some details, again, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke maybe didn't focus as much on. Amazing. Super cool. Highly recommend reading it. So today, again, John chapter 1, we're going to be the first 5 verses. Follow along with me. God's word says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. That light shines in the darkness, and yet darkness did not overcome it." Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that we can gather here in this place and praise and worship you. And Lord, I thank you for your word, for your holy word and how it speaks to us here today. And Lord, I thank you for this message that you have given to me. And Lord, I pray that you take it, your word, your message, and speak through me this morning boldly and clearly. Lord, we ask that you will open up each of our hearts and our minds to better understand you, who you are, what you've done for us, and then what it is that we can do for you. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. The idea behind today's message is that we can all answer that question. Anyone has the ability to answer the question about us, what about Jesus, by paying special attention to this passage of Scripture. First few verses in the book of John. So 2 weeks ago, last week, boy, we had Minnesota Teen Challenge here. First time I've been exposed to that ministry, and let me tell you, I was nothing but impressed. Loved those guys. Loved hearing their testimonies and having them back or having them here. What a great time. Hopefully you were here and able to take part. It was really powerful. So this was 2 weeks ago that we covered the first 2 verses of this passage. I'm going to kind of recap just a little bit for some of you that may not have been here. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 2, he just kind of states the same thing. He was with God in the beginning. This is so cool. I just love this passage. Obviously, one of the neatest, most very specific passages in Scripture. Super cool. John MacArthur, I'll read a quote from John MacArthur, speaking of, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "in the beginning was the Word." John MacArthur says, "God's Word is His powerful self-expression in creation, in wisdom, in revelation, in salvation, identified in the person of Jesus." So rich and cool. John was so specific in saying in the beginning, because if you go all the way back to the beginning of our Bible, it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John was making no mistake in using those words, quoting the very beginning of the Torah, the Scriptures, and saying in the beginning was the Word. Boy, 2 weeks ago we looked so much at beginning of what? And Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, one God, always together, eternally existing. In the beginning was the beginning of time as we know it. the beginning of time and space and matter and material and energy, in the beginning. The point that John is making, what you and I need to know and remember, is that Jesus is the eternal, divine Word of God, and that eternal divine Word of God later became flesh. That's Jesus. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. An absolute, crystal clear reference to the second part of the Trinity. Jesus is God. Jesus always was God. And let me tell you, Jesus always will be God forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is fully and completely God. That is the difference in every single religion. Every religion, you can boil it down into two camps. What about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? All other religions say very clearly and strongly that Jesus Christ is not God, cannot be God. Some say Jesus is your brother. Some say Jesus once was a man and he elevated himself through good works to become a God. If you work like that, you too will also become a God like Jesus. All religions say that Jesus is not God except one. And that's Christianity. And Christianity says unequivocally, without a doubt, that Jesus Christ is God. That's the difference. All other religions versus Christianity. Let me tell you, Jesus always was and always will be God. That's what John was saying here. Jesus, while pre-existent as God in heaven and in intimate, perfect communion with the Father, came to earth and born of a virgin, and Jesus humbled himself, became a man and lived among us, but Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. And at the right moment in history, Jesus ultimately gave his life as a ransom for us, giving his life on Calvary's cross. Sounds pretty good. John 1, 1 and 2. Boy, memorize those. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And boy, verse 2 is pretty simple. He was with God in the beginning. In the beginning of what we can comprehend. That's good stuff. We spent 30 minutes talking about those, well, one verse. A little tiny bit about verse 2. If that's not enough, would you believe me if I say there's more? There's more. Look at verse 3, and the coolness continues. Verse 3, John says, all things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has ever been created. Welcome to Ely. Some of you are traveling. Some of you are here for a summer. Some of you are here for a short trip. Some of you have been out in the Boundary Waters. Some of you are here for the Blueberry Festival. Some of you, like us, get to live here year-round. Either way, welcome to Ely. Jimmy, welcome to Ely. Hey, they just bought and closed on the License Bureau. It's theirs now. Penny and Larry are out. Jimmy and Andrea are in, sort of. For a couple more months, I think they need to learn how to do this thing. But anyway, congratulations on that. Welcome to Ely. There are many, many reasons that we love Ely. Ely is unique and cool and special. Smithsonian said, what, one of the top 10 coolest small places to live, like in the galaxy. Yeah, that's an amen point. Amen, Mark? Yeah, amen. We love Ely. Ely is cool. It's like living in a Hallmark movie, especially Christmas. If you're only here in the summer, man, you're missing out. Ely rocks 11 months out of the year. Break up and mud season, not quite as much. All you can do is sit on the concrete and look at all the mud and the flood and the water and everything else. But anyway, Ely's awesome. Small town. We love the small town atmosphere, the small businesses. Mom and pop, you walk in and the owner of the business is taking care of you. That's cool. We don't have all the big box, high, whatever, all that stuff. It's a small, intimate community. People know each other, and they care about each other. We love each other. We love our neighbors. We watch out for each other. My kids can go anywhere in town and do almost anything within reason. And I know they're going to be taken care of because Ely is a cool place, and we have wonderful events like the Boundary Waters. We love it. Small restaurants, small intimate gatherings, lots of reasons to love Ely. But if you really get down to the nitty-gritty, why did people even start to come here besides like way, way back? But why do people come here? Ultimately, it's because of the beauty of nature. The beauty of nature is what brings most folks here. Then we learn how much we love each other and our businesses and our small community. But it's nature that we enjoy so much. The animals out there, the pine marten and the fisher and the deer and the wolves and the moose. The animals are so beautiful. The trees, it's cool because there aren't that many different trees to memorize. I'm trying to learn them. There's not a ton of different types of trees. The trees are beautiful. Have you ever seen the big bowls of rock filled with water? We call them lakes. They're awesome. What I really love is when the wind stops and you can't tell where the trees end and where they begin. It looks like the trees are double-ended because they're just on the glass water. The beauty of all of this, the rocks. There's a couple rocks out there. A few rocks around here. Have you looked up at night and seen the stars? As far as you can fathom, the stars are brilliant and glowing. We're a dark sky community. The northern lights, wow. Lots of reasons to love Ely. We love it, but ultimately it boils down to nature. And the question that people ask is, where did all this wonder come from? Where did the walleye come from? I'm trying that one to see if I can get an amen. The smallmouth was a flop, so I'm doing the walleye. Where did one of God's greatest creations, the walleye, where'd that come from? All this wonder around us, and many people try to say, all that came from nothing. Nothing. At one time, there was nothing, and then suddenly, something happened, and walleye were created in the beautiful lake. Well, actually, I think they would say that there was an ooze or whatever that was created, and then that ooze became a walleye, I think, and then it got perfected and became a smallmouth, and then it became a deer, and then it became a bald eagle and whatever, but it stayed all those other things while it some people would say that all of that came from nothing. The stars out there came from nothing. The northern lights came from nothing. I drove out west a few years ago, and we went to this place called the Rocky Mountains. And the Rocky Mountains start up in Canada, and they go down to New Mexico, 3,000 miles of Rocky Mountains. Have you ever seen the Rocky Mountains? How much rock do you think is in the Rocky Mountains? 3,000 miles. I mean, you get driving in these things and you can drive forever up on the rock. How much rock is in the Rocky Mountains? I've walked the Appalachian Mountains. Wow. 2,200 miles of those suckers, and they go like this, and there's a lot of rock in the Appalachian Mountains. There's a lot of rock in the Rocky Mountains. They say there's mountain ranges under the oceans that are bigger than the Rocky Mountains. We have a little bit of rock around here. You can look out the window and see it. Ledge rock. Where did all that rock come from? There's a lot of weight in a rock. Where did all that stuff come from? John says exactly where it came from. He says all things were created through Jesus. And apart from Jesus, not one thing was created that's ever been created. Jesus created it. Man, he did a good job. A good friend looking at a sunset the other night said, the original architect and landscaper did a good job. He knew exactly what he was doing. You see, Jesus, the Word of God, he spoke it, and there it was. Didn't change over billions of years. He just spoke it, and there it is, everything into existence. Paul in Colossians tells us that Jesus created all things. It was made for him and through him and for his glory. The author of Hebrews tells us Jesus spoke it all into existence. Throughout Scripture, we're told that Jesus did it. What about Jesus? Man, he's God, always was. He's eternal, but he's also the creator of everything that we see all around us, everything that's good and beautiful, the birch trees and the lakes and the rocks and the bears and you and I. Jesus did it. And if that's not enough, there's more. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Whoops, if I can find verse 4. Verse 4 says, in him, in this Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of men. Pretty cool and incredible and amazing. As amazing as the rocks and the planets and the plants and the stars and all those things are, human beings are by far the most amazing. Human beings are the crowning jewel of all that Jesus created. So the big question that we need to ask, that many people will ask, is where did life come from and why am I here? What's the meaning of life? You hear that one a lot, don't you, in the intellectual circles and in the academia. Why are we here? Where did we come from? And what's the meaning of life? Let me tell you, in case you're not sure, the answer to that question is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. See, Jesus breathed life into creation. He spoke it with his breath. He spoke God's word. He is the living word of God, and the word of God just spoke it into existence, and he breathed life into humans, into Adam. He formed from the dust of the ground this man, and he breathed life into him, and man took on a soul, an eternal soul. All of creation exists through Jesus. Because of Jesus, by Jesus, everything is held together, knit together. The sun, energy, motion, gravity, it's perfect. It's because of Jesus that we have all those things. And then John says, in this Jesus, not only was he creator, but in Jesus was life. And that life was the light of men. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light of life. Jesus is light and life. And he gave us, mankind, you and I, he gave us both. Life and light. Jesus is life and light, and he gave us life and light. He gave us both. Every human life is precious. Every human life is precious, and every human life is an example of God's beauty and God's power. The beauty and power of Creator King Jesus. Jesus put life and light into all of us, and he started in the Garden of Eden. Jesus put life and light into Adam and then Eve. Jesus did it. Life and light out of nothing into them, and suddenly there they were, perfect, perfection, truly the crowning jewel of all creation, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the symbolic place of heaven, the interdwelling of God and man together in beauty and perfection. Life and light abounded everywhere, and there was this turmoil in heaven. And the worship leader, Lucifer, one of the three archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer didn't want to be leading worship anymore. He wanted to be the subject of worship, and he sinned. Pride took over, and God cast Lucifer out of heaven. It says he took a third of the angels with him. They're his demons. The serpent came to earth, and man, he deceived Adam and Eve, this light and life, this perfection. And here's the serpent slithering his way in. And he says to them, really, really, can you not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He slithers his way in and they succumb and they say, yeah, we'd like to know things like God. We want to be like God. And so they ate the fruit and life and light was shattered and darkness came into existence. Darkness here on the earth, things changed. It was fractured. Darkness and death and separation suddenly came. All the results of sin, not God's will, but mankind's choice and rebellion and free will. The serpent deceived and sin wrecked everything. And man's rebellion against light brought darkness into the world. Light is the symbolic presence of good, God's nature. And darkness is the symbolic presence of evil, evil's nature around us. Light, good, darkness, bad. And light and darkness have been battling ever since. Light and darkness warring and struggling against each other. And so what happens? Like what happens in this struggle of light and darkness? It's so cool. If you wonder about that question, here's your answer in verse 5. That light that is Jesus, that light, it shines in the darkness. And yet the darkness did not overcome it. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that so cool? The victory that we have in Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't do anything about it. You see, this God Jesus, he created light. This God Jesus, he created perfection. We rebelled. We sinned. We fell. We brought darkness. But Jesus, in his infinite, unimaginable love for us, Jesus brought light into the world, and he went to the cross. Jesus willingly went to Calvary's cross, that rugged cross on the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem. Jesus didn't want to. He was terrified of the wrath of God the Father turning his back. He knew what that was going to be like, to be separated from this source of light, this God, the Father. Jesus knew what was going to happen, but he willingly did it because he loves you that much. Jesus went to the cross, and the light of the world by darkness was slain. The earth turned to dark. Darkness overcame the earth for 3 hours as Jesus hung there on the cross, and then the earth shook. Rocks were split and tombs were opened. Crazy cool stuff was going on when Jesus was there on the cross. And there on the cross, Jesus, he died. He breathed his last. And Jesus, God the Son, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, died. And there on the cross, he hung dead, and they pierced his side, and blood and water ran out, and a friend asked Pilate for Jesus' body, and Pilate gave him permission. They took Jesus' dead, lifeless body off the cross, and they laid him in a tomb, but that tomb was only borrowed. It was borrowed for 3 days. Jesus lay in the tomb stone dead, but on the third day, Jesus arose from the dead, and he defeated sin and death forever and ever. What seemed hopeless, had darkness really won? The light of the world overcame darkness. Darkness could not overcome the light. The light wins. The light of the world won. That light of Jesus shines in the darkness. And the darkness, that darkness that seemed so hopeless and so overpowering, the darkness could not overcome it, could not overcome the light. Jesus was dead, but now he's alive. And Jesus stands in victory today. here's the crazy cool thing about Jesus. This whole question, what about Jesus? The most important question ever in existence, what about Jesus? The cool thing about Jesus is if you answer that question correctly, if you in your heart believe that this is true, that God is who he says he is, Jesus is exactly who he says he is, you believe that Jesus was resurrected and raised from the dead, and if you cry out to Jesus, ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life, he will. He will. He will be your Lord and your Savior. You will be forgiven. You will be cleansed. You'll move from darkness back into the light, from death into life that is Jesus. You will be cleansed and made new by answering the question, what about Jesus, correctly. And if you do, if you answer that question correctly, then you too will stand not in condemnation, but in victory with King Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. It all comes down to the question, what about Jesus? Pray with me. Father, thank you, Lord God, for you, for your word, Lord, for the power that's contained within it, for the life-giving nature that you are. Lord, we praise you for life itself, for light, for the beauty around us. But more than anything, Lord, we praise you for Jesus, that you saw fit to come to earth and love us out of our rebellion and into your open arms. Lord, how can we ever stop praising you for that? So Lord, move among us in a powerful way. Anyone that's here today that hasn't made that decision on what to do about Jesus and give their life over, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would say yes to you. Yes to Jesus, yes to salvation and forgiveness, yes to light and turn out of the darkness. So Lord, just move among us in the way that only you can, that you will be richly glorified in us and through us. Oh Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.